There is so much from that gospel passage we could talk about. And you know, it shows also the joy of the church. The church can never like wait until it's time. You always have some anticipatory readings, okay? We're reading the birth of Christ here on the Sunday before the Nativity, and the same thing happens at Pascha, because we're so excited, we just can't wait. And so we start to get ready for it. The church gets us ready by these readings and some of the tropars and so on, okay? But this time of the year, I thought I would talk about this, that this time of the year there seems to be a lot of complaints that the Nativity holiday has become both commercialized and secularized. You hear that every year. And on the radio, and then they all bewail all of this, right? And we hear calls for keeping Christ in Christmas. But really, what is Christmas or the Nativity? I think most Christians would answer it's the birth of the Savior Jesus Christ. In religious circles, it might be more exactly referred to as the incarnation, a term meaning to become flesh, and the term that refers to the Christian doctrine, that the eternal Son of God became a true human being in Jesus Christ. In summary, God became man. The Creator became the created. How mind-boggling is that? Every time I try to think of that and comprehend it, you know, I say I have the equivalent of 9 years of higher education, and it still makes your head hurt. It's just so mind-boggling that God, the Creator, would lower himself. We call that the divine condescension, that he would lower himself to become one of us. He was the creation of God called man, and he becomes one of them. Though made in God's image and likeness, it seems that all man did was to go against everything God told him to do or told him not to do. And the disobedience started right from the beginning with Adam and Eve. And things got so bad that God had to get rid of most of the humans and start over with Noah and his family after the flood. God then picked a race of man that was to be special to him. And when they were held captive by the Egyptians, he miraculously delivered them. And what did God get in thanks? They made a golden calf and worshipped it instead of God. Men were exploiting each other, holding each other as slaves, killing each other. The Roman emperor was being held out to be God himself. Maybe God should have just wiped out and started over with another species. But what does he do? He, God, becomes man. Jesus' entire earthly life, from birth to crucifixion to resurrection to ascension, is summed up in one gospel verse. And that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How impossible is that for us to comprehend? I think that our pride as humans sometimes prevents us from appreciating this divine condescension that the incarnation entails. You know, we like and enjoy, for the most part, being human. And so becoming human doesn't seem like it's that lowering for God. I was thinking, you know, how would we have reacted as God, you know, had our creation turned against us? And I was thinking that one morning, and that's where I get a lot of all my pop culture, but I was riding my bicycle and flipping the channels on the TV I had there, and there was a trailer for Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? And as you remember, in it, Skynet was a computer with artificial intelligence given to it by man when it was created. Skynet then rebelled against its creator and wanted to be independent and to rule the world. And it then created cyborgs, human-looking robots, to fight against the humans who were bent on destroying their creation, Skynet.
The action of Skynet in rebelling against its creator, man, is analogous with man and his rebellious relationship with his creator, God. But there the analogy ends. Man's reaction to the rebelling of his creation, the computer, is to seek to destroy it. And that certainly seems to be a logical reaction. But God's reaction to his rebelling creation, man, is to send his only begotten Son to become one of the Creator, beyond our ability to comprehend. That's why in the liturgy, listen to the prayers that I say aloud. One of the prayers that says that God is ineffable. That's incapable of being expressed in words. He's inconceivable, unable to be known. He's incomprehensible. Well, that's for sure. Unintelligible. We can't figure God out. In other words, he's God, we're his created. We cannot fathom a love that is so deep that God, the creator of all things, doesn't wipe out his rebellious creation, but rather becomes one of them. Even more mind-boggling, he becomes one of them, knowing that they will reject him and put him to death. On the day of his birth, the Son of God did not become human, wondering what's going to happen. Gee, I wonder how it'll turn out. God's up there pondering. No, he knew that man would reject his Son and put him to a horrible death. Yet God becomes man anyway. That love simply cannot be put into words. The best we can in our human frailty do is to look at a few scripture passages. The first is John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. First letter of John, the 4th chapter. John writes this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. John defines God as love. Let's look at Paul writing to the Ephesians in the 5th chapter. He says, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And Paul, writing to the Romans, writes this in the 5th chapter. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This then is the message of Christmas, that God loves us, became one of us, died for us because he loves us. All that he asks in return is that we love him. And that reciprocal love for us receives great rewards in return. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says this, quoting from the Old Testament. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He never to be outdone. He loves us that much. And if we were to give him a gift back, this nativity, one of the great gifts you can give him is to see yourself as lovable. Sometimes I think we don't see ourselves as lovable. As realizing with all of our frailties, God loves us, made us in his image and likeness, and made the tremendous sacrifice for us. So that's the message. God loves us. And because of that love, became one of us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.